Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church on this beautiful Palm Sunday morning. It's beautiful, even though it might not feel that way with that chill in the air, but it's going to go away. And this time of year, and with Holy Week coming up, we got to feel warm in our hearts, that's for sure. It's so good to see all of you that are here today. This week, we are praying for Alberta Parcell, and Alberta is here. Put your hand up, Alberta. There she is, praying for you all this week, and so glad you could be here. You see quilts on the pews today. Usually, we don't have them put out until later in the year, but because of what happened up in central Ohio a week or so ago, the tornadoes, because of what happened and all the damage up there, the NALC called us and requested quilts now. So I think when you look around and see the beauty that's on these pews and know that this was all done here with the ladies in the church, I think we give them a nice round of applause right now, okay? There's six or seven of the ladies that do this, and there are 36 quilts out now and I think 26 Afghans. And, you know, we'll have probably close to that many more before the year is over. But it's a good thing to do for the people up there that are hurting so bad. And it's good that the people here in our congregation are willing to take the time to do this. And it's really, really excellent work. So thanks again to all of you who are on the quilting committee. Birthdays Wednesday, Karen Wheeler. And Karen is here. Put your hand up, Karen. There she is. And Saturday, Lee Lundberg. Lee, put your hand up. There's Lee back there. All right. Two birthdays today. Dylan Collum is also Saturday. So we'll sing to Karen and Lee. Larry, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Anymore. Happy birthday week. Tuesday is Bible study at 10 a.m. Friday is Good Friday service at 6 p.m. Mark your calendar. We'd like to see you. Pastor, tell Sarah we're praying for her as well, not being here, but God bless you. It's good to see you.
Thank you, Joe. You're blessed.
Take care of yourself.
As well. Indeed, these quilts, Afghans, are just so wonderfully beautiful. I will admit, standing up front, though, you just kind of all blend in with them. So as you come up for communion, take a look back and you just see. I'm curious, there's probably no idea how many hours are put in to an Afghan or a blanket. I'm sure there's thousands of hours that show up here. So we again thank you much for your dedication to that. And know that there's going to be a lot of folks out there that are just going to enjoy these as they surround themselves with the love and the prayers that you put in as you did those. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Invite you to stand up at this time and greet those around you with the peace of the Lord. together to worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may more perfectly love you and more worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus the Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Now, if we say we have no sin, we only deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sin. As a called and ordained pastor of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sin, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world and the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son, Jesus, to take our flesh upon himself and to suffer death on the cross. Grant that we may share in obedience to your will in the glorious victory of his resurrection through your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson for today is from the Old Testament book of Zechariah, chapter 9, beginning at the 9th verse. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore you double. The word of the Lord. Join together and read responsibly Psalm 118, verses 19 through 29. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The second lesson is from the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, verses 5 to 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, chapters 14 and 15. And since it is an entirety of two chapters, you're more than welcome to be seated at this time. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people. And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at a table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment and pure nard, very costly. And she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priest in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There, prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared for the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it was written of him. But woe to that man whom God, the Son of Man, has betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. And they went to the place called Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words, and again came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. My betrayer is at hand." And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi!" And he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew a sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him. But he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. Now they led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. He was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'" But even about their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But he remained silent and made no answer. Again the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further witness do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and cover his face and strike him, saying, "Prophesy!" And the guards received him with blows. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servants' girls of the high priest, seeing Peter warming himself, looked at him and said, "You are also with the Nazarene with Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again Peter denied it, and after a little while the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And he answered them, "You have said so." And the chief priest accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner from whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the resurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came out and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priest had delivered him up. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have them release for them Barabbas instead. Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call king of the Jews?" And they cried out, "Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisted a crown of thorns they put on him, and they began to salute, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. When they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put on his clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him a wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ha ha ha! You would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross." So all the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he had breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and the younger of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have died already. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph brought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus was laid. The Gospel of our Lord. Many of you can probably recall your childhood days. Anyone play Cowboys and Indians? How many had cap guns that actually went bang and a little smoke came from them? Or perhaps you had those suction arrows that you used. Or maybe you did battlefield scenarios. If it was too bad outside, you had your little toy soldiers. You had army tanks. You had the whole regiment that you put together. Ships and planes, and you played the battlefield scenario. And then there were those, perhaps the ladies among us, who had their little kitchen sets. Or if you didn't have those, your mom's kitchen set. To bake cakes and cookies. Now they even have real ovens that the kids can use to bake cakes and cookies. Or you had tea parties. It was wonderful back then, was it not? Imagining ourselves in the midst of adult life, but not really mortally wounded in combat or by the Indians. We didn't really have to clean house, to do the wash, to make the meals and care for our young children, the babies, and diaper them while we're still trying to do the other household duties. We didn't have to worry about paying the bills, unexpected health issues, or worse yet, the death of a loved one. Many of us can probably remember those days in some way, shape, or form. And as we grew up, we had what-if days. What if I'd done this rather than that? Whether it be at school, on the playground, or someplace else. Perhaps it was in the car. You had a what if I had just done something differently. As the child chased the ball out into the street and came out from behind the car. And what if? What if I had done something differently? A few moments difference. What if I'd taken a different path in life, a different career path? Where would I be today? We all have those would've, could've, should've scenarios that haunt us, leave us wondering, what if? Certainly the disciples had those scenarios. I could easily count a number of those personal scenarios with those lines. Life-changing scenarios, faith-changing scenarios. And from that perspective of faith-changing, I ask you this week, this Holy Week, that you look at it from that perspective. What if? Faith changing. How your faith has changed over the years to where it is this very day, time and now, right now. And to ponder how it has changed and how it might change this week. How it would change if you were actually there in Mark's gospel that you just heard and read. How if you were physically present during this week in Jerusalem, right there in the midst of everything with Jesus? I even ask you this morning, consider reading this, to also thoughtfully consider joining us for Good Friday service as we hear John's perspective of Jesus' final days, his perspective of Jesus' betrayal, his being nailed to the wooden cross. And then, as you come forward, leaving the nail that you carried during Lent, and if you don't have one, please pick one up afterwards. Carry it here for a few days. Come Friday night to ponder what would it have been like to have actually been there as you come to the cross and leave your nail at the foot of the cross. It was following a disabling accident for me, a car accident, when somebody they said was doing 45 or 50 mile an hour, smacked into me. A few months later, surviving a lightning strike, and then nearly 7 hours of back surgery. I found myself there in that what-if scenario, spending time with countless people, pastors, Protestant, Catholic, yes, a former priest, VA advisors, doctors, contemplating life's path, the what-if. In seminary, I would have a professor, Dr. Rod Hutton, who I discovered knew where I lived in Northeast Iowa. Here I am in Columbus, Ohio, Trinity Lutheran Seminary. Had driven the dusty gravel road right through our farm buildings over to St. Sebald Lutheran Church, where Sarah and I had been members before I went in the Air Force. He had come and married a small town, Strawberry Point girl, Swansiger, young girl. It's a small, small world, after all, as the song goes. It was amazing. What were the chances? During seminary, it was Dr. Hutton who was queried many a time. He really knew his history. But he came out one day in class, if we just had a time machine and could go back there, travel back to be there in the midst of what was going on, what would we see? How would we experience that? Would we see things differently from that perspective? Time and again during that class and classes later during seminary, that comment came up. If we just had a time machine. Today's gospel is a sort of time machine, an opportunity to peer back into the past and, yes, experience not only Jesus' final days and those around him, but also the time for us. Become as children who once imagined being soldiers, having tea parties, doing all those wonderful things, an opportunity for us to really imagine being there in the midst of the people, in the upper room, as they went out to Gethsemane, before Pilate, along the way to Golgotha. You're there as a passerby, and a soldier looks at you instead of Simon Cyrene and says, "Carry it!" You pick up the cross that Jesus was struggling to carry. And for a few brief moments, Jesus' divine love is on your back. Yes, Palm Sunday is filled with rich and powerful imagery, and yet is a very conflicted day. A very conflicted day. We start out with waving the palms and singing Hosanna. Praise to you. And it ends with silence and the cross. Each year we read the story of Jesus' last earthly life in flesh and blood. We begin the journey passing through Maundy Thursday into Good Friday, through the deafening silence of Holy Saturday. And then our shouts of Hosanna suddenly change. Today, change from Hosanna to crucify him. What's that you say? I can't hear you. Crucify him? Why? What has he done? Yeah, Pilate could hear them. Crucify him. The gospel is overflowing with imagery. It calls us to ponder where we are in each part of the story. As children positioning our soldiers on the battlefield, as we positioned the dolls in our tea set and had those wonderful little parties, where were you in Simon the leper's house? As the woman with the alabaster flask of ointment broken it, poured it over Jesus' head. And at the Passover table, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one of you eating with me. They began to be sorrowful and say to him, after one another, is it I? And which one of you were the one that broke the flask and poured it over Jesus' head? Did you smell that? Could you see that? Or are you crying out, we should have sold it and given it to the poor? Yes, Mark fills us with imagery that comes into our being if we will allow it. If we will allow Jesus' words to really dig down deep in our being. As you're there at that table, did you pause as he took the bread, blessed it, and gave it to you, and said, this is my body? As he took the cup and gave it to you, this is my blood? What were you thinking as you held that cup, as Jesus looked you in the eye? Where are you with the disciples? There in Golgotha, during that ninth hour, when Jesus cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, you would have understood it. Cried out. Or are you that one bystander who took the sponge and filled it with wine, held it up to his mouth that he might drink? Was that you giving Jesus a drink? Are you with the women looking on from a distance? Or are you there next to that Roman guard centurion as he gazed up, as you gazed up to Jesus on the cross? Surely this man is the Son of God. Yes, Holy Week confronts us with profound questions, but none may be more pressing, more difficult than the one that asks us, where are you in the story of Jesus? Where do you stand? Are you walking with Jesus on his journey this week? Are you staying with him and bearing witness of him? In our busy and often complicated lives, it can indeed be tempting to flee, to deny, even betray. And all perhaps too often the most overused path that we take is to just keep silent, to ignore and say nothing. Mark challenges us to go deeper. Yes, to go beyond the silence, to truly experience Jesus' personal life that week. Holy Week is indeed overflowing with what-ifs. A would-have, could-have, should-have roller coaster of emotions week. A time when we encounter God's grace and love so amazing, so divine, that it demands our souls, our lives, our all in all to be present. For God so desires that each and every one of us can be a part of his field of life, his creation. He desires each one of us to be in his eternal kingdom, where we no longer need to imagine our part of the story, for we are in his story of redemption and salvation. Yes, the greatest story ever told of love and sacrifice. Earlier in Mark's gospel, Jesus began his journey to Jerusalem. After he made his first prediction of what would happen, he told his disciples, if you want to become my followers, take up your cross and follow me. When we do that, we, like Simon Cyrene, are blessed to embrace and carry Jesus' divine love embodied in that cross on our journey with Jesus into the heart of our ever-loving Heavenly Father, who responds to the most provoking question of all, the most provoking what-if of all ages. What if I send my Son? Indeed, we are most blessed to be recipients of how God answered that what if. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And Peter heard the rooster crow the second time. Has the rooster crowed in your life lately? It isn't faithfully following Jesus to the cross and standing near the cross that we encounter Emmanuel, God with us in Jesus the Christ, that we experience the miracle of transformation that Mark describes in his writing of Jesus' final days, that we experience suffering and death, that we experience a soldier, the Roman centurion at the foot of the cross proclaim, truly, this man was the Son of God. Only you know where you are along your life's path. I pray that this Holy Week may be an opportunity for you to truly encounter, truly experience all that Mark shares with us, with you, with me. That your Holy Week experience may be both motivating and transformational for your faith walk with Jesus as your Savior, as your lifelong shepherd. And that you too will not only sing, but live out the words of John Newton in this hymn we're going to sing next. We're going to sing up to verse 5, 1 through 5. His fifth verse, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. The words are, O Jesus, shepherd, guardian, friend, my prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praises I bring. Amen.
The congregation to join together in professing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us be in a time of prayer. At this time, I also invite you to join in blessing of these quilts, Afghans around us. As I come to that time of silence, you might have a special prayer for one near you or where it might be. Heavenly Father, indeed, you bless us so richly with talents and ways that we can go about living our life. And help us, Lord, to indeed share those talents with those around us. I ask that indeed you bless the many who have been a part of making these quilts, these afghans. Their fingers have tirelessly put them together. Perhaps they said any number of prayers. Lord, we ask that these quilts, these afghans, will be your love surrounding someone we don't even know, that you will surround them with these blankets in your love in a profound way. Many have lost much of their life. Storms, devastation. They don't know where to go, where to turn. They got a lot of what ifs, Lord. Help these blankets to indeed be a special blessing in this time of their life. Help these blankets to carry them forward in their faith, that they may come to know you more deeply than they ever have before. May they come to know you in a profound way as their Lord and Savior and walk with you all the days of their life. Lord, surround each one here, those who have what ifs in their life right now, would have, could have, should have, who wish they might have taken a different path here or there, but they are where they are right now, Lord, and you're right there with them. Grant them the opportunity to feel your presence in a profound way, to know your love, that perhaps had they been there on the way to Golgotha, you would have heard them as they cried and wept for you. But you would have also perhaps heard them say, "Crucify him!" For Lord, we have those times we lose ourselves in this world. Pull us out of this world. Allow us to see your presence all around us. Allow us to be the love to other ones, that we may indeed give you the praise and the glory. Grant us, Lord, your healing presence. We come to you now with those that we lift up to you, that you would indeed touch them with your healing presence, Lord. We give you the praise and the glory, Heavenly Father, for accepting us as your children through your Son, Jesus the Christ. And we have that promise and hope forever and ever that we will be with you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray these things. And all God's people said, Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, during this most holy week of the year, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace to serve the risen Lord.
Thanks be to God.